Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So on our first night in Virginia, we went to dinner in Charlottesville.
Right, Charlottesville, Virginia, where the University of Virginia is and where unfortunate events happened 2 years ago.
2 years ago, that's right. A very unfortunate white supremacist rally occurred in Charlottesville.
Right.
I was mentioning to a colleague of mine that I was headed down to hike Shenandoah and that we were staying near there, near Madison. And she said, oh, we'll go to Charlottesville for dinner if you have time. And I was like, wait, is that like Charlottesville of those, that white supremacist rally? Like, that's what I thought in the back of my mind.
And that's like an unfortunate like thing to be tagged onto that city.
Right. Yeah. Right. We did follow this colleague's advice and we were like, all right, well, let's go. It looks cute. And there was nothing in Madison, really.
No.
I mean, Madison had a lovely strip of something, but there was there wasn't a ton to do there. So we were like, oh, there are some breweries in Charlottesville.
Right.
Let's go eat some dinner and go to a brewery.
Yeah.
So we did. We headed down to Charlottesville. It only took 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was kind of a little rainy, so I think it would have been a little quicker because it was also rush houry traffic time.
We were thinking about maybe seeing a movie.
Or doing an escape room.
Or doing an escape room or something, but we didn't find anything that really wet our whistle.
And I think we were both tired girls. So we were like, let's do dinner and some drinks.
And then see what happens.
We did some research and ended up at the South Street Brewing Company or Brew Pub, which was a really good choice because it suited all of our needs.
It did.
Yeah, it had a beautiful hearth fireplace that was open to both the bar and the seating area. It was a very lively crowd for a Thursday night. They had some delicious beers.
They did.
We got a full flight for $13, and the full flight was
12 beers.
All of the beers they had on tap.
All of them. Yeah. And you know what I liked about the way they did their beer flight menu was that when it came to the flights, they had all the beers on the menu and it was two columns.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted a full flight, you'd get all of them. Or if you wanted a half flight, you could either do the first column or the second column.
Right.
There was no let me pick and choose which ones I want. Because I bet that takes forever.
Oh my God.
For a server to
They also don't
be able to notate and also tell you which one is which.
They also don't do a holder for the flights.
No,
the
they just
server, our friend By Curious George came out and brought us a bunch of 4 ounce pours in just the glasses. And the cool thing that they did is he just laid them out on the menu. He knew exactly where they were and placed them. So that made it good because you could read everything again and see what you were drinking.
It was great.
Yeah.
I remember the guy sitting behind us.
Oh, yeah.
There were 6 of them and they were having a very deep conversation about
the nature of good and evil.
Nature of good and evil, spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
One of the central questions of their conversation was can you be spiritual? Can you have a spiritual relationship without being religious?
It was deep conversation
it
for
was
a brew pub.
Very deep. But I mean, I feel like that's, brew pubs are the spots for those. And they have been historically.
Right.
But we were definitely, eavesdropping into that occasionally.
Oh, well, even our waiter was there having a heavy conversation over
very
there.
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Our waiter, who was very cute, and you called him By Curious George.
Right.
Because
we both clocked him when we walked in.
We were he's gotta be, on the queer spectrum somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in fluidity.
Somewhere in fluidity.
Yeah.
After South Street, we left there and we went to another brewery around the corner.
Wild Wolf Brewing Company.
They had some great beers there.
They did. It was quieter in there, but it was still really nonetheless very good. We were actually able to strike up a conversation with a local there.
Who was the hiker? His name was Nate, and he was a 14er. Is that it?
Yes, I think that's the term.
He hikes like peaks that are above 14,000 feet.
Right, which we were unaware of as a thing because and you were like, you were like,
how many
oh,
of the 14
many?
Have you done, right? I know.
That was
things we're learning.
That's right.
Things we're learning.
That's right, learning and growing.
Right, it does make me curious about doing a 14er.
Yeah.
Curious only.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would do it, but I mean, who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
But we also were talking to him a little bit about everything that happened with the riot or the demonstration or
and
the protest.
We basically
whatever
we were like, can you please tell us what is the real here?
Yeah.
And he was really gracious and very generous to go into very clear detail about like, okay, so it is really, really unfortunate that Charlottesville gets this rap now because of this. And he told us a lot that a lot of those people who participated in that white supremacy rally, they were not Charlottesville locals.
Yeah, he said even a lot of people came down from Canada too. Yeah. Racism everywhere, folks.
There is racism everywhere. And this was really started because there was this one statue that they wanted to like remove and put out of sight of the city limit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing that got the ball rolling on this.
Because that had also been happening around the country, too. So I think this became like the stopgap measure for the racists. It's like, let's gather here and really put our foot down. And we all know kind of what happened then.
I was really proud of like gay Twitter for all of the memes that came out of that, that white supremacist rally.
Yeah.
Because it was just like all of these like white college frat looking guys and they just memed them to death.
Oh,
and I thought it was great.
The pen is mightier than the sword.
The pen is mightier than the sword. We were able to get some great recommendations for some trails to do from Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that he suggested was
White Oak Canyon Trail, which is exactly what we did the next day.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
The White Oak Canyon Trail is a popular trail in Shenandoah National Park, though not as popular as, say, Old Rag, but it is often hiked by hikers who visit Shenandoah.
Yeah, it's labeled as a strenuous hike, 6-mile round trip with a 1,600-foot elevation gain. And that's from one way. When we went to White Oak Canyon Trail, we parked at White Oak Canyon Parking Boundary parking lot. There is another area to park, and that is the Limberlost Trail parking lot, which is further up. Basically, the hike can be done in two ways. You can hike from one parking lot to the middle of the hike where there is a footbridge that crosses the river at the upper falls, or you can hike down from the Limberlost parking lot down to that footbridge. You can do the whole thing and return, but that's a very long hike because there isn't a shuttle service that takes you from one parking lot to the next. So most people will typically go one way and then turn around at that bridge and come back down. So it's about 3 miles up to the bridge and 3 miles back down. down. It's recommended that it's done in about 4 to 4.5 hours, which is pretty much the timeline that we were able to achieve it in.
That would mean it's like 6 miles one direction if you went from parking lot to parking lot.
Right.
And then
basically
12 miles to starting parking lot.
Starting parking lot. Yeah.
So, yeah. And because of the way the roads are in Shenandoah, there's no sort of like elegant way for you to just easily drive from one parking lot to another.
Right. I believe the Limberlost parking lot is off of Skyline Drive, and you can't easily access Skyline Drive all the time. There's only a few roads that get you into that part to get onto that road. So that's why there's no shuttle service. So there's not an easy way back down.
While that, you know, might frustrate you as a driver, I mean, the point of that is to help conserve that area so that there's less traffic moving in through that area. I was doing some research, and what I found was White Oak Canyon gets its name from the white oak trees that you might see along the trail. White oak trees are these types of oak trees that range from Canada all the way down to Florida, and they go even as far over as Minnesota. Mm. They get to over 100 feet high.
Oh, very interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the basic draws of this hike, too, is that you see between, I believe it's 5 and 6 waterfalls, mm-hmm. and you're basically hiking along the river and along these falls for most of the trek.
I would say these are like really beautiful payoff waterfalls.
Oh, yeah. It's a great hike to experience a lot of different things. I'm sure that, you know, seasonally, it's really interesting to see at all different times of the year, especially like in the spring when, you know, snow is melting and the river is thawing and the river is rushing a little bit more. But it is a beautiful hike, and it is one that I think everybody should try to do. It's pretty close to where we were staying in Madison. I believe it was about a 30-minute drive. It's closer to Syria, Virginia. It's right off of Route 600. At least the way we went, we came from the lower part of the hike and hiked up to the footbridge. When we started off that morning, it was our last day in the Airbnb. So we had like the day before, that evening before, after coming back from Charlottesville, stopped at Kitty City and grabbed provisions for the day, including some breakfast. So we had a very small breakfast, which is kind of atypical for us. It was like yogurt and a bar and like a piece of fruit. We packed up.
And it was more just like yogurt for me.
Yeah, well, that's what
that
we
was
get
all
for,
that was given to
that's
me.
That's what we get for, you know, being lazy in bed. But yeah, so it was during that time that I learned a little bit more about the artwork in the house from our Airbnb host, who said it was her mother's, who was an artist. But yeah, we packed up pretty easily because that night we were headed to DC after hiking for the whole day. And we headed out to White Oak Canyon Falls.
So we set out and we drive to the trailhead of White Oak Canyon. On the way, we listened to the American Horror Story podcast because the evening before it had been, or 2 days before.
No, it was, oh yeah, 2 nights
before.
It had
been the finale.
No, it wasn't the finale. It was the penultimate episode.
No, girl. It was the finale.
It wasn't. It was the penultimate episode.
I'm wrong. It was the penultimate episode.
Let me say it one more time. It was the penultimate episode. And it was pure,
both disappointing,
pure trash, pure trash.
We are huge American Horror Story lovers. And generally speaking, the internet sort of like really embraced this season. And I'm like, Emperor has no clothes.
Yeah.
Like your first 5 episodes were amazing. Full stop.
Yeah, it just went off the rails in the worst
way
possible.
So we were listening to those guys talk about it, who they seem to really enjoy it too.
Yeah, they were into it like way more than I think someone should have been.
So yes, there was a lot of ripping on American Horror Story on these trails that we were on this weekend. We drive through Virginia backcountry in order to
beautiful
get to
Virginia
the trailhead.
Beautiful backcountry.
Beautiful rolling hills, vineyards.
Fall.
And then we finally started winding into like a more tree covered area to get to what was the trailhead.
Right.
And sort of like Great Smoky Mountains, in a lot of parks, you know, you enter the entrance near a visitor center.
Right.
And then you drive through the park and find a trailhead and go up a trail or whatnot. But this is a park that's so big that you just, you know, find the parking lot wherever is closest to this one trail.
Right.
And there is a tiny, small, little box where a park ranger stays.
Yeah, and sometimes. This station had that, like, outpost, but when we returned to the car, no one was there.
No one was there.
Yeah.
But you do the right thing and you pay or leave the money that you need to, and then put the receipt if you get one in your dash. Mm-hmm. But we got to this parking lot finally. There was like hardly anybody there.
It was like 5 or 6 cars, which was like, it was a very quiet sort of morning. It was also a lot earlier. We had gotten up because we wanted to get out because we had planned to do several hikes today. And it was a much colder day. We had a lot more gear on today. The day before, I was in shorts because it was warm. This was definitely a day where it was like, okay, I had shorts on underneath, like, you know, jogging pants just in case I got heated up too much, but that never happened.
I was wearing tights and then I put on some joggers over the tights, and I never took them off.
Yeah. It was a cold day.
It was cold.
I think it was probably like in the 30s when we started the hike in the morning, and it didn't get up past the 40s.
No.
This is your local weather on the 10s. But the start of the hike is essentially you cross a bridge and then you're basically right there in the thick of the hike. For the most part, in the beginning, it is a lovely stroll in the woods.
It is a lovely stroll with beautiful trees, and it was fall, and so it's like beautiful fall trees mm-hmm. right and left.
And you're along the river.
Right along the river. So yes, it is a lovely stroll through the woods, and for a long time, it was flat.
Right, you gain a little bit of elevation, but it's really not a ton until you hit your first waterfall. For the most part, there were some minor switchbacks here and there that would bring you up a little bit, and then you'd kind of like come back down pretty quickly because you really were along the river for most of the way. That first waterfall, I remember we stopped and kind of like the trail kind of takes you up some stairs near it, but you can meander your way out.
Be
closer into the river.
Yeah.
It was really slick because it had rained the night before, so it was like careful stepping. And I think we had the poles out the entire time today. We took them out right away and used them, which was helpful at this point.
Super helpful. And it was at this moment we kind of just like stood there and like took in some of the sounds of this waterfall.
So we are here on the White Oak Canyon Trail very early.
We've been hiking for an hour and a half.
About a mile and a half. I don't know what time we actually started. I didn't look at my watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's only been like maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But we're standing here looking at two waterfalls.
Yeah, and the trail offers, I think, at least 5 along the way. It's a 3-mile out and then a 3-mile back, so 6 miles in total.
And there's sort of two waterfalls side by side and then a lower waterfall down at the bottom. And this is what they sound like. So we continue climbing up, and really from here, it's just like the incline.
Oh, it has come for us.
It has come for us.
Oh, 1,600 feet. I see where you're starting right here.
Right here, right now.
Yeah. But I do have to say, like, it was strenuous, as the hike said. I do feel like, you know, that incline was more strenuous in some ways than Old Rag. And I feel like we gained more elevation in Old Rag. I think it was just spread out a little longer. But I still think the hike itself is, like, it's still a very doable hike for anybody.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As we continue climbing up, there was this like gorgeous overlook to our left.
Mm-hmm.
We stood there for a minute and took a bunch of photos because it's gorgeous right there.
Yeah, it was like a bluff overlooking kind of most of the valley that we had come from. So it was a really great way to kind of take in the scenery around us, similar to Old Rag. Like, you get a lot of elevation in Shenandoah, which is awesome because there is so much to see within the park and the boundaries surrounding the park. So this was one of those instances, and we'd stop there later too, and the light will have totally changed. So that's like another beautiful thing.
You know, that's the thing they always say, you know, take photos at different moments of the day, you know, from one spot, because you get to see something different each time.
Yeah.
Not too much further from here, we get finally to more waterfalls.
Right. And right about the time that we had kind of left the bluff, there were 4 hikers that had come up behind us that I was like, where did these people come from? Because there was literally no one at the parking lot, or and they were just fast hiking.
I was like, oh, I think they were in those tents that were set up over there.
I did not see any tents.
And you saw no tents.
No.
But
clearly,
I
was not in the situational awareness game this day. No.
Or those tents were, you know, apparitions, ghost tents.
American Horror Story ghost tent.
Only to me. Right.
Right.
I feel like that might have been a little more successful than 1984. Right. Anyway, the tents were, people were camping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were already, like, in that moment, I don't think we were really chatting in that moment. So we were, like, quiet as we were walking by. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't feel any need to, like, I think I did point them out. I don't know that you saw me do that.
No, I did not.
I did. Well,
yeah. You're just, like, mouthed it really quietly.
Situational awareness.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
We get to another little overlook there, a little after that bluff and a little after hiking up a little bit more. You get to see your second and third kind of waterfall. And this is where you're able to walk out onto the rocks, provided that the river is low. Again, different times of year, the river may be higher. It may be rushing more. Probably in the spring after the snow melt, this is going to be the case. But this was low enough that we were able to kind of creep a little bit out onto the rocks and get some other photographs of that waterfall and kind of take that in from a different vantage point.
And that was really beautiful. Just being able to stand there for a few minutes and take in more waterfalls.
Right.
It was very tranquil.
Right. And with that, let's take a break.
Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. It's time for a game. What game are we playing today, Mike?
We're going to play Commission an Album. We've played this game before. Commission an Album sometimes works where we'll give an artist, like a singer, and then ask them to commission an album based off of something specific, like a book or like an event. And we have to kind of come up with who we think could best tackle that. Or it sometimes can work in reverse, where we give the event or book and then figure out who that artist is. But I think for this Commission an Album, I would like you to think about the last year of your life, and if you could commission an album, who would the artist be? Why would it be that artist? And what would the title of the album be?
Okay, great. So there's been a lot of learning and growing this past year of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think the artist would be Tracy Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
I want to resurrect her to like do this album.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot of the past...
Give me just one good reason.
Almost. That wasn't really the words,
okay.
But okay, yeah. Yeah, we also don't have the rights, so
yeah,
that's great that you didn't sing the correct
There
words.
We go.
I think she is able to tap into something really like deep and spiritual in her work. So like that's what I would want,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of this album. The I went on a really interesting journey for myself this year just to sort of figure out who I am and how I work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, to be totally transparent, I did find out that I had some significant high blood pressure that I needed to deal with.
Mm.
And so like one moment even took me to the emergency room where my low number was 117. And so that's also my birthday.
Yeah.
And so like after like feeling like, okay, now I've got like, you know, now I've got a medical control over this situation that I'm in, and I'm on the right medication for it, I think the album would be 117.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah.
I see.
Because it's multiple meanings there. So, yeah. And I think she would be able to just really tap into that really clearly.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. What about you?
I, too, went on many journeys of change in the past year. It was definitely a big learning year for me in a lot of ways. Who I am as a person, what I really want, where I see myself in the future. And I think I was able to also like acquire some new skill and really figure out a lot about myself that I had kind of previously not made any discovery about. And I was able to figure out really through that deeper parts of myself that I hadn't really known. There was definitely like a very recent breakup that has happened. And that was like a really big part of what the last year was about, not the breakup itself, but the relationship. So in kind of like thinking back over that past year, I tend to err on the side of, I think, more folk musicians, folky, bluegrassy. I think I would love to like lean on Andrew Bird or Sufjan Stevens because they speak to me in big ways. But I think I'm going to pivot and go towards Neil Young because I feel like he is really someone that I often forget that I love. And whenever I hear his music, I can get a real sense for the storytelling that he's creating. So I think the album would be called The Magician. I really thought a lot about tarot cards because that's something that I also started. I had previously, the year prior, drawn an entire deck of tarot cards out that I started to fully illustrate this past year. And I put it down just because life got busy and I was doing a lot of other things. But The Magician is kind of the card where you're able to harness all of the powers of the universe and like you can kind of tap into all of the different attributes of each of the suits of the tarot deck. You know, the coins, the earthly things, the suit of cups, which is more emotion, the suit of swords, which is intellect, and the suit of wands, which is action and creativity. So I do feel like that was a very, you know, if I had to sum up my life in one tarot card, I feel like I could kind of lean on The Magician for that. So I think that's where that title comes from. And I think Neil Young could do some good justice there.
So from this third waterfall, we continue up because mm-hmm. the incline continues.
Oh, yeah. She's not going away.
She's not going away.
But it did flatten out a little bit for a little bit. We did get some little bit of level tread for a while, and this brings you to our fourth waterfall. And it's definitely the largest one we've seen at this point. Again, this is another spot where you're able to walk out onto the rocks. This was like a much bigger rock plateau that you could walk out onto.
Right.
The waterfall, there was like a little bit of a smaller waterfall right where you were standing, but the larger one was a little further in the distance. So you were able to kind of see that at a better vantage point, but you were also near like a smaller little baby waterfall.
Right.
Like right next to that.
All right. So we've been hiking for almost 3 miles now. And the uphill.
Yeah, we've been at it for close to 2 hours. We've definitely passed at least 4 or 5 waterfalls, so I think we're kind of right in our last leg of the trip.
Right now, there's just like fall leaves everywhere, and there's stones everywhere. It's a well-marked path. There's like a stone sort of pathway the whole time. My feet are starting to hurt, and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat those peanut butter sandwiches when we get to the summit.
We are. And after this, you know, we kind of jut back out onto our trail. And as we start to get closer to the top, we start to see these really large boulders
and overhangs. These were the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And like they, you know, they're on both sides. And this felt like, you know, Return to Oz.
Right.
Like the Rock King?
The Gnome King. Who's the Gnome King?
But he lives in the rocks. Right.
His gnomes live in the rocks. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it felt a little bit like that.
Yeah. It definitely did. This was also another spot where People had graffitied. Reba was there. We joked about Reba McEntire.
Because you know what? Reba, I believe that Reba McEntire would not graffiti a rock.
No.
I just don't think she would do it.
She'd be better than that. We deserve better in Reba McEntire. We're getting past these boulders. And then all of a sudden,
Mike had this like enormous reaction.
Me, who is known for outlandish outbursts, you know, the one who went to school for acting. That's me over here sitting
with the degree in drama.
That's right. The degree in drama. No. So we're walking and then you all of a sudden like erupted like a volcano out of nowhere. And you were like, you know what? I'm really hungry right now. And I just need meat. I need meat. We can't just have yogurt for breakfast. I need to have meat because if I don't have meat, I don't know what I'm going to do. He's like, this was the first trip where we did not have like a McDonald's breakfast or like a very strong breakfast. We did a weird thing and I'm going to like definitely shoulder a lot of the blame for this. But I think like going to McDonald's and we kind of made a pact over the last few trips where it was like, let's actually go to the food store and get things that are not and so like
that's
crappy
fine,
for us.
And that's great.
Right.
And that's totally great.
Right.
But like if we're gonna eat trail mix for lunch, we can't just like eat like birds for breakfast.
No, we had yogurt and bird food for breakfast.
We had bird food for breakfast.
Right. I did make our peanut butter sandwiches, which we would have in a little bit.
Right.
But like we are climbing these stairs so that you get to this part where there are these really big stone stairs that you're climbing up that eventually lead to these earthen stairs that have like wooden supports, and you are just like freaking out on these stairs. And I was just like in awe of the freak out because I was hungry too, but you were taking it to another level. You're I just need to stop and I need to eat something right now. Like I can't believe you did this to me. How could you do this to me? Why would you do this to me?
So on my end of the world, right? I was not really like intending to. I felt like actually what I said was like very controlled and very sort of like,
I needed a much bigger breakfast. Like, I can't believe we didn't have meat. It's a surprise to me. And I just need to voice my concern about how hungry I am.
And see, I would not have like,
no, you full hissied.
I would not have described it as the hissy from my end of things. I thought it was very level-headed on things. But I did get to a moment where I was like, okay, like if we're gonna trail mix for lunch all day, like we can't do that for breakfast.
No.
And the part of me that was like,
you turned to me and you were like, aren't you hungry? Are you not hungry? And I was like, I'm hungry, but I'm okay. I can last until we get to the footbridge.
But there was like a solid 20 minutes where I was like ruminating on that. And I was like, I think I'm going to need to say something out loud just to like get it out.
Oh, and you got it out.
But I want to make sure I do it in
talk
a way
about
that
shouting
feels
it from the mountaintops.
I did not shout it from the mountaintops. Look, I know when I'm dramatic, and I was the level 5 out of 10 this day. All right,
you were
but
drama
no,
con
at this
5.
Moment, I was like, ugh. No, I believe what I said was, listen, I want to save money and be skinny too, but we've got to eat breakfast.
I believe that was the direct quote.
anyway, but yeah, I was just like, no, yogurt is not enough.
Yeah.
I think that's just too something I've learned about myself like later in my life is that like I do so much better when I actually eat a breakfast. So
my body.
And as someone who was a vegetarian for 7 years, I did not realize how much I really do enjoy eating meat. There is no shade to any vegetarians whatsoever. I did it for 7 years.
Right.
That was definitely a moment.
Oh, it was. It was a moment in the woods. But not that kind of moment for all of you Into the Woods fans out there. After we climb up those wood retaining stairs, you get a view of the largest falls that you're able to see on this trek. This is, I believe, the top waterfall. You can't get close to this one as close as you could to the others unless you're on it from above, basically, which is where we were headed. You can only see it from a distance at this point. As we hike a little bit longer, just a little bit longer, we hit a mile we hit a marker on the trail. So the markers on the trail were these obelisks, which had these kind of like indented areas at the top that had that were wrapped with metal that had impressions like printed on them, like metal impressions.
And those were like the names.
They were like size 7 font.
Size. Like you, I mean, that's even generous. Right. It was like size 3.5.
You needed your cheaters.
Of like it's like the old rack trail is this way. The right. White Oak Trail is this right. way. And it's this many miles.
Yeah.
I mean, those. So these yeah. are, so those posts that just look like posts, those are actually your trail signs.
Right. And so this post actually had a, like a sign on it that was like, you're halfway finished with the White Oak Canyon Trail. And I think it triggered you again because you definitely freaked out once more. And you're like, I just need to eat a peanut butter sandwich. And if I have to hike another 2.5 miles, I'm going to freak out. And you had already done that. So
when I could have eaten the peanut butter sandwich could've. At
I
any
know.
Moment
I know.
In time.
You could have called us to stop.
But I
you were
could
like,
have. But anyway, but this halfway marker was talking about
the entire
lot to
trail.
Parking lot,
yeah.
right? So we were essentially done. Like
right.
we
had a half mile to go.
This is also a moment on the trail where like a jutting off to the right that would connect you to the old Rag Fire Road.
Yes, exactly. So that was interesting too, because I don't think we realized how close we were when we started the hike to Old Rag and where that fire road actually would have kind of brought you. Eventually we do hike our way up to the bridge. There is a little bit of a jut off before you get to the bridge where you can kind of go out on the rocks. They're kind of slanted upward and you get an even better view of the waterfall from there. And then a little further with very little incline at this point, you get to the footbridge that crosses the river, which is where we finally sat and had our peanut butter sandwiches.
We did. We sat and had them, and it was a chilly day.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting there for, you know, however long we did, it only took about 5 minutes for it to be like, oh, suddenly you're very cold
right.
again.
You'd stopped moving.
Stop, right, because yeah. you'd stopped moving. But it was, to defend myself here in this moment, after being made to look like the prissiest of queens,
mm-hmm.
which isn't entirely inaccurate all the time, but... But no, it was certainly a situation that felt better to eat some peanut butter sandwiches.
Right. It definitely was a welcome food break for the both of us.
And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is Moon. moon.com and use code GAZE24 and that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com and that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Shenandoah Deer.
All right. Obviously, this name is inspired by the name Shenandoah National
Shenandoah.
Park.
Shenandoah.
But also inspired by our lovely
Maria
sound of
von
music.
Trapp.
Maria von Trapp, mm-hmm. Doa Deer,
Doa
a female deer. So
Ray.
Shenandoah Deer.
Ray, a drop of golden sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think her name would be Rhea, and then her last name would be drop a golden sun. Rhea, drop a golden sun. Anyway.
Mia name.
Mia name.
Mia name. I call myself.
Farah.
Long way to run. Oh, wow. Did we just come up with all the drag queens for...
The Bond Trap drag queens? I think we did.
Okay. Well, we're done, guys. Thanks. Done. It's been a great show. All of them are going on the list. I can't believe we didn't figure that out. But anyway, yeah, Shenandoah Dear. So who is Shenandoah Dear?
Well,
she performs with all her sisters.
She performs with all of her Bond Trap sisters. Apparently, I think that's what.
Yeah,
I think she does.
Yeah, it's a family act.
I think we have a Von Trapp family act.
A la the Small Arms Judy from SNL.
Yes,
and I'm Judy.
Right. Exactly.
Kristen Wiig.
Those things.
Yeah, sisters do as sisters should. Yeah. So it's a family act.
Well, I mean, if we're inspired by Von Trapp, I mean, I do feel like there's an Austrian vibe to Shenandoah Dear.
Yeah, I think so.
Not necessarily like direct, but like a reference to Austrian fashion.
Yeah.
Traditional Austrian fashion, I should say.
Yeah. I do feel like there could very much so be like she, Lederhosen is a part of the outfit at some point. I feel like there's some quick changing happening there too. A la like Cinderella in Rodgers and Hammerstein's version. Where it's like a quick change from her like rags to riches.
Right. And also her sister Lederhosen.
Yes. Yeah. Look at all. They all came out.
They all came out.
This was unexpected.
It was. It's
what a family act.
Box.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
So yeah. What else can we say about Shenandoah Dear? I think we've covered it all.
I think we've covered it all. I think she plays some traditional instruments and I think, you know, they do like a Sound of Music parody.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage, Shenandoah Dear. So after feeling like thoroughly cold again.
And human beings from eating. Right.
And saying like, okay, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Yeah.
We packed everything up, you know, because leave no trace.
Obviously.
And we headed back down. And it was much easier heading down because it was, you know, decline. But it was a steep decline.
Right.
I remember when we were headed down, I was like, we really were like...
Well, we gained 1,600 feet.
Incline.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Similarly, at Old Rag, I was like, dang. Like, I just felt like... Well, the Old Rag decline was a little more... going down to the fire road from the summit was a little steeper than the incline going up from the trailhead.
Yeah.
But here, as we were trekking back what we had just done, it was like, we really did do some incline here.
Yes, we definitely did. It's always nice to see a trail in reverse too. So this was like nice to be able to come down and be able to get a different view of everything. If you're looking at waterfalls on the way up, you're seeing them on the way down too, but you're getting that different perspective of them. There's a lot more people on the trail at this point. Remember, we had started really, really early. So those five cars in the parking lot were really our compatriots on the trail, even though we didn't see too many people, and some of them may have come from tents. As we get further and further down, there are a lot more people on the way up. And it's a great trail, so it makes a lot of sense. This was also Friday, so I feel like some people were maybe playing hooky and hiking, or maybe they were doing the same thing we were. They had teachers convention break and they came from New Jersey. There were a lot more people stopped on the trail and along the trail on the way back down. It doesn't take us a lengthy amount of time. I think we had hiked up to the top in about 2.5 hours, and when we were on our way back down, we were making pretty good time. And you were like, oh, I think we'll be back to the car in like 45 minutes. And I was
It took us longer.
It took us about an hour and a half
we
down.
We felt like we were like really trucking along there.
We were. There were definitely a lot of people. There were a few people with dogs.
There were.
When we got closer to the bottom.
Well, did you see any no dog signs on this trail?
No.
I didn't either. Mm-mm. So it seems like
dogs I think the whole point of not having dogs on Old Rag was because it's dangerous. Like going through those boulders, like, no. I was amazed when we saw that dog
on
that trail.
There were a lot of like spots where like an animal could have gotten stuck or something on those boulders in Old Rag.
Yeah.
But yeah, there aren't, you know, that's not what this trail is.
Mm-mm. No.
So, yeah, there were a lot more dogs. We met this one dog named Journey.
Yeah.
Who was beautiful.
Yeah, it was this woman hiking with her cousin, and they were hiking with Journey, and she said that Journey's sister had passed away, I believe, like, in the past year, and she was like, I could have never done this hike with the two of them, so she was happy to take Journey on the hike with her. And they talked to us about the Appalachian Trail because they we had talked to them about hiking a little bit. And we had mentioned that we hiked the national parks. And the woman was like, oh, have you thought about the Appalachian Trail? And we both have, but we're also like, when are we quitting our jobs for 6 months and doing that?
Right.
It's definitely something, you know, it's like a dream trail, just like the Pacific Coast Trail or any of those other Pacific Crest or the Buckeye Trail for that matter,
or
seeing the sights of Ohio
or over in Spain.
The Camino, but the Camino is more doable in 5 weeks.
Even do it in four.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's more doable.
Yeah. You don't have to quit. You maybe just take a long vacation. As we got closer to the bottom, this is where we see a lot more people. And at this point it's around probably close to noon here. So I feel like everybody had kind of like gotten a late start, and it was also a lot warmer at this point. Cause remember we started and it was probably in the 30s. So it wasn't like warm enough to take anything off, necessarily, but it was more comfortable than when we had started our hiking for the day for sure. So I think people were more apt to get out and hike and move a little in the warmer temperatures.
Right.
As we got towards the bottom, you dropped some knowledge on me about musical theater songs in movies, which I was unaware of, that if a musical becomes a movie, none of the songs in that musical can be nominated for Best Picture, that oftentimes they will be nominated for Best Original Song. So
for the Oscars.
So a lot of the times they will write new music that will either be included in the musical version of the movie or will be something that can run as the first song over the credits.
That's correct.
That's correct.
How you qualify for Best Original Song for an Oscar is either the song has to appear inside of the film or it has to be the first song on the credits.
Which was such fascinating knowledge to me.
Oh,
which is how we got...
Honestly, most movie musicals have had like an additional song written for them.
Right?
Like Chicago, the movie had
Move On.
Yeah. Right? Was written for, you know, the film. Sondheim wrote a new song for Into the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up cutting it, but they do play it over the first section of the credits.
Mm-hmm.
It is sung by Meryl, and it is the song about wanting Rapunzel to return after she runs away, or she'll be back. That's the name of the song.
Okay.
Anyway, and then...
Maybe This Time from Cabaret.
Maybe This Time from Cabaret, which then, if the song is like a huge hit in the movie, then oftentimes when they revive the stage show, they might sometimes add that song back in.
Like Grease is what you're saying.
Like, okay, so two songs that were written for Grease, the movie, were Hopelessly Devoted to You and You're the One That I Want. And a couple reasons. One, Hopelessly Devoted to You was, Sandy didn't have a song in the original draft of Grease, so that gives her a song.
Right.
And when you have Olivia Newton-John, it's like we have to give Olivia Newton-John a song to sing.
Right.
And let's be real, that's a great song.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that song, right? I mean, that is what I used to sing to Diet Coke all the time, but, but not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. 3 months and strong. Thank you very much.
There we go. Diet Coke here.
But anyway,
I have your chip.
You have exactly.
It's Fritos.
But you're the one that I want. Was just a better song than the song that they had written for that last moment of Grease.
Right. And then Sandy flies off to heaven with Danny.
Right. Because it's all a dream.
Yeah.
And Sandy's really in an institution.
Yeah.
just imagining all
yes.
of this.
Have you seen Girl Interrupted? She's one of the inmates.
Sandy Dabrowski. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, as we get closer to the bottom, we're leveled out again. We're definitely feeling pretty good about our hike and the experience on White Oak Canyon. And as we come back and make our way into the parking lot is like to the brim full of cars at this point.
Full now.
Yeah. And there are other trails that start on that offshoot, like right at the beginning. You can go another way and there's another trail. So we did see a lot of people, but I think it was more cars than there were people that we saw. So I'm sure people were in all sorts of directions there. And it was a great day to hike. And as always, what suited us and worked in our favor is to hike early and to hike often.
And from there, we headed off to hike Stony Man and Little Stony Man. Let's recap this, Mike. How long was the White Oak Canyon Trail?
White Oak Canyon Trail was 6 miles in total. That's 3 miles up and 3 miles back.
And it would be around 6 miles total if you just hiked in one direction from one parking lot to the other.
I believe so, yeah.
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 And it estimated how long?
It said about 4.5 hours.
And we did it in...
We did it in four. We started at about 920 and ended at about 120.
And then how much elevation gain?
1,600 feet.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's put her on the Karen Stone
Great.
Scale.
Yeah.
I'm going to say six.
Yeah, I'm thinking a six too. I gave Old Rag a six and I feel like she's comparable. Old Rag was a little bit more gradual, but then you had some of the challenging parts at the top with the bouldering, which is why I ultimately gave it a six. But this, I feel like there was more strenuous, like uphill for most of the time. So I think a six is well deserved. Is it not doable? No, by all means, this is a very doable hike. It's not craggy at all. It's pretty straightforward, I think, in its, you know, approach. And I think it's a really nice hike to be able to see so many waterfalls too. So a six feels good and
yes.
warranted.
This could be one of my favorite waterfall hikes that we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. And I felt like you could actually be close to the waterfalls. It's not like you're seeing them from far away, like you're up really close
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, it's definitely not one where the waterfalls are so powerful that you can't get close to it.
Right.
Like, it's not a Yosemite or a Vernal or Nevada
right.
falls.
And
yeah.
it's not like a secret falls in Kauai where you can go and swim up near the waterfalls
right.
and feel like, you know, 2x4s are landing on your
yeah.
head. But
yeah.
They are very close and they were running and it was really beautiful.
Yeah. I would love to do it at a different time of year just to see the
like
change
summer.
In seasons. Yeah.
Yes. So that's 12 out of 20
yeah.
Karen Stones. Let's play some Jeopardy. Mike, what is your category today?
My category is called Sic Semper Tyrannus, which is on the seal of Virginia, which means...
Six Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Exactly. Thus, always to tyrants, which suggests that bad outcomes will or always should befall tyrants, which I felt was very topical and our current political climate.
Okay.
Okay. And this category is all about famous historical tyrants. So slap on your history helmet
get
ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Sic Semper Tyrannus for 100. This Roman emperor, known for his lust, extravagance, and vengeance, was first hailed as a hero after freeing unjustly imprisoned citizens and eliminating harsh sales tax. However, all his acclaim went to his head and he declared himself a living god, made his horse a priest, murdered for sport, and whored out his own sisters. Must be at least part of the reason that they totally stabbed Caesar.
Was it Nero?
It's not Nero.
Is it Brutus?
It's not Brutus.
No, is it Caligula?
It's Caligula.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
I thought, well, when you mentioned, like, okay... I remember seeing the film Caligula mm-hmm. when I was probably too young to have seen that film. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not
Caligula,
a great guy.
Not
Caligula.
A great guy. Yeah.
Not a great guy. All right. Sic Semper Tyrannus 4-2. If we argue nurture versus nature when it comes to dictators, nurture or lack thereof for this tyrant is probably the reason he was so feared. After his father was poisoned to death, he spent much of his teenage years as a slave before he united the Mongol tribes and conquered a huge chunk of Central Asia and China. While he is largely well received among Mongols and Turks. Much of the Middle East reviles him as a genocidal maniac.
I don't know. Who was that?
It's Genghis Khan. Okay.
Okay.
Slap on them history helmets.
I'm
I know.
Ready.
This
keep,
is
let's keep going.
This is hard stuff, but I tried to do what I could here for you. All right, 300. It's as if we sang One Day More for no reason whatsoever. While the French Revolution was a huge shift in power away from monarchy and towards democracy, its execution wasn't so smooth. During the Reign of Terror, this Jacobin ran the show and was later executed because of the ruthlessness of his leadership and the lengths he was willing to go to in regards to loyalty through regime change.
Who is Louis the 16th?
No.
The 14th.
No, it's not a king. It's someone who was like involved in the monarchy switch.
Is Napoleon?
It's not Napoleon.
I don't
history
know.
History helmets.
That? I don't know.
It's Robespierre.
Definitely no.
No.
No, sorry.
You're a history nerd.
I am.
I
an
know.
American history nerd.
I guess so.
Sorry.
I don't
study the French Revolution.
Oh, well.
Like ever.
Children
except
in
when I watch Les Mis.
Yeah.
Which is not the French Revolution.
No. All right. 400. The Tsar of Russia literally has awful as a part of his name. And while the first part of his rule was fairly moderate, things amped up after his first wife died and he put people and even their closest kin to death just for the sport of it by many means, including boiling and burning to death.
Sorry, girl.
Ivan the Terrible.
Oh, Ivan the Terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
All right.
These are all making a lot of sense to me,
yeah.
Except the one before this one.
On Robespierre.
Yeah, that yeah. one.
Yeah, okay, 500. Okay. This dictator of what is now Cambodia sounds like a real peach. Not only did he outlaw education and religion, but he also forced city dwellers to move to the country to work on collective farms. During his four-year reign, a quarter of the population was wiped out through horrible deaths, including being run over with bulldozers and fed to alligators. No. I know. I'm sorry that I
Who
did this to
this?
You. It's Pol Pot. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We're going to work on world history knowledge, Dusty.
We are.
I'm sorry.
Great. But I feel like I'm going to zing you real back.
Oh,
real hard,
I do
real back.
Think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At least these were well-constructed historical clues.
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready to torture me with your Jeopardy
I'm
now?
I'm so ready to torture
yeah.
you.
Great.
Okay. So Virginia gets its name from Queen Elizabeth I.
Mm-hmm.
Who was called the Virgin Queen.
Right.
Queen Elizabeth.
Just like me.
Just like you. Queen Elizabeth I is famously the daughter of Henry VIII.
Okay.
And so this category is all
Crazy
about
King Henry, right?
The wives of Henry VIII.
Oh, great. I love this.
Great. Fantastic.
And I'm here for it.
So in this category, based on the description, you're going to have to identify which wife I'm talking about.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, great. Here
Anne
we
Boleyn,
go.
Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn.
100. The second wife of Henry VIII, mother of Queen Elizabeth I, and rumored to have had an extra finger, she was ordered to death by beheading.
Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn, Anne Boleyn.
That is correct. She was Anne Boleyn. Okay, for 200. Before marrying Henry VIII and giving birth to Mary Tudor, she was actually married to Henry's older brother, Arthur, who died at 15 years old.
Who is Catherine of Arnaud.
Ooh, close, but no. Catherine of Arnaud is not a person.
Okay.
No. It's Catherine of Aragon.
Oh, well.
You were close.
I get points for Catherine.
You get points for Catherine.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Trebek wouldn't give you points
no,
for
I know.
That. No, so you don't. Great, for 300. While she was queen for only 1 year, she also shares her name with the actress who played Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Who is Queen Jane Seymour?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Jane Seymour. Okay. For 400, divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded was this fifth wife of Henry VIII, who was only a teenager at the time when he was right slap in the middle of middle age.
I'm sorry. Divorced, beheaded,
so
died.
Divorced, beheaded? No.
Oh, so we're talking about the order of wives.
Divorced, beheaded, died.
Uh-huh.
Divorced, beheaded, supplied is how you think of them.
Oh, okay.
So she's number five. So
okay.
She was also ordered to be beheaded.
Oh, okay.
And what is her name?
Who is...
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Who is Jamie Lee Curtis?
Incorrect. Yeah. It's who is Catherine Howard.
Okay. Catherine yes. Howard.
And now...
She sounds like a boring one.
Now for 500.
Boarding.
A kind stepmother to Elizabeth and Henry's last wife, her interest in Protestantism made her an enemy of the Henry's court. But lucky for her, she managed to negotiate a divorce that essentially made her a kept woman until her death.
Who is Olivia Colman?
Incorrect. Who is Catherine Parr?
Oh, okay.
And there you go.
There we go. I got
Virgin
two.
Virgin Queen Heritage. And that was that.
Yeah.
You got two.
Historical Torture.
Historical Torture.
From Mike and Dusty.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan. This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
For images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeattheNationalParks@gmail.com. And to find out more about Shenandoah National Park and all of the other national parks spoken about on this podcast, visit our website at gazeattheNationalParks.com.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge, while hiking in Shenandoah National Park, that we are on the traditional lands of the Manahoic and Monacan tribes.
Tune into our next full episode when we hike the Stony Man and Little Stony Man trails at Shenandoah National Park.